Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Here we go with the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio, and believe it or not, Dan is actually here. So, hey, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to me, I'm the Big Jet, Dan the Man, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. And since it is, today is Wednesday, so there was a new blog that popped up over there, so swing on by and check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with three E's.
All right, Dan. I know this happened, I think it was 2 days ago, but we really didn't have a chance to talk about it. Apparently, Major League Baseball has instructed their umpires to enforce foreign substance rules. Basically means they are going to, I guess, frisk the pitcher. And apparently, this is going to happen somewhere between 8 to 10 times a game from a report I saw earlier. Dan, I thought baseball was trying to speed the game up. Do we really need more pitchers throwing balls out of the strike zone, and do we really need to be checking them out? I mean, what's your take on that?
Oh, well, you could thank the Astros and the Red Sox. I mean, isn't that what it comes down to?
You know, what they're pointing towards is the increasing spin rate, you know, among pitchers. And, you know, obviously what Major League Baseball, I think, is trying to avoid is, you know, basically the as it's put here in this article I have, the unprecedented strikeout rate. But that doesn't have anything to do – well, pitching doesn't have as much to do with it as stupid analytics and swing plane and exit velocity and everybody trying to hit a home run, does it?
Yeah, well, to first answer the one question, I don't think it'll slow down the game because hopefully that's something we don't even see on TV and that happens in that two-minute countdown that they have going on in between innings. Hopefully the way they have it set up, that won't be something that we see. So it shouldn't really add time to the game, per se. But, it will change things, I think, when relief pitching comes in. It might add some time. But then again, one of the things I never understood is why TV doesn't automatically know after, 100 years of baseball, that once the manager calls to the bullpen, why they don't immediately go to commercial break,
to show the guy walking in from the bullpen, I think.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're going to use the golf carts again, or it's going to be one of those pitchers who runs to the mound, we don't need to see that. So, I don't think it really is going to add to the game or, add to the time limit of the game. But as I've talked around myself, what was the other point you made? Oh, the spin rate and the strikeouts.
Yeah.
And that was kind of crappy. He should have been safe. He looked safe to me on that stolen base. But, they keep wanting to do things to lower the strikeout rate. Oh, let's move the mound back. Let's check them for substances. Ooh, he was out. But why aren't we changing the philosophy swing to the fence, swinging for the fences. You know, but you know, and not only that, strikeouts don't matter according to analytics and the way these guys are being trained or, you know, taught, brought up in the system now. So what do they care if they strike out? If you go 1 for 4, you hit a home run and you struck out 3 times, you hit a home run. That's all we care about. You know, we want
right.
to know that your launch velocity and, you know, that's it. So it was a good day. You went 1 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. So
yeah,
I get what they're trying to do, but they don't focus on the actual problem, and that's what's annoying.
Yeah, you know, and the big thing is basically what a lot of pitchers use is sunscreen and rosin, and what that does is it gives them a better grip on the ball. Now, do you want a pitcher out there now that we're in the summer and it's 90 degrees here, sweating his, you know what off, throwing 90-plus or 100 in some cases, who now doesn't have as much control of the baseball? Boy, that sounds like a fun at-bat, doesn't it?
I'm sorry, I broke up right there for a minute.
You know, I mean, how excited would you be to step into the box against the guy throwing 100 that can't put anything on his hands and doesn't have as great a control as he normally does?
And that's kind of scary. You know, and that'll be an experiment to see how many more people get hit in the head.
Yeah.
There
are guys out there that do cheat. They put other stuff on the ball. You know, and, you know, I guess if they can find those guys, that's great. But, you know, if we start seeing more walks, that's not going to speed up the game. You know, it's not missing something, right? That doesn't help it enough. So, you know, I mean, if you want to, you know, if you want to speed up the game, teach guys to put the ball in play, you know, and then the game will all of a sudden magically start moving faster.
Well, you know, one of the things we don't hear about anymore is, oh, he's a ground ball pitcher. Oh, he's this kind of pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, you really don't hear that anymore.
No, there are very few guys that you actually hear that about.
And I think that's where a lot of the, you know, the specialty pitchers came in, especially when you think about what Bruce Bochy was doing. You know, sorry, I have crowd control right now.
Broke up really bad or something.
Yeah, you know, you've got a couple guys on base, guy on first, definitely. You've got a guy, you know, that's when you would bring in the pitcher who's a ground ball pitcher, you know. So you can try to get that double play, but we don't really hear about that anymore.
Yeah.
Everyone just throws 100 miles an hour and hopes to get a strikeout.
Yeah, that's all that, you know, that's oddly, that's all that it seems to have turned into. You know, the harder you throw or whatever it works out to, it's like, oh, we don't seem to care about the aspects of baseball anymore. So, but yeah, I just I thought that was very odd that that's what they decided they needed to address. You know, out of all the things. And, you know, we have seen this happen, I believe, one time, and no surprise, it was Joe West. He actually confiscated the hat from Cardinals reliever Giovanni Gallegos. But nothing, you know, nothing had come of it. Apparently, I guess the first time you violate the rule, you get a 10-game suspension. So basically, if you're a starter, you miss 2 starts.
I mean, well, and I know that was a big thing, especially here in Chicago with Cubs fans. They took it away. Why didn't they, you know, why wasn't he taken out of the game?
So, yeah, I don't, you know, I mean, we'll see how this plays out and if or how the umpires actually enforce it. But, I don't know. It just seems like there's so many other things they could be looking at. You know, I mean, the replay system could use fixing. You know, we mentioned hitters as it was, but apparently this is what's important to them because they're. My guess is they're going to try. They're trying to get more offense, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. But you know, again, when you see teams actually hit the ball, that's what makes the difference. I mean, you know, I watched Dodger games early in the season where they were scoring runs, just not on home runs. You know, they were getting a guy on and knocking one into the outfield. You know, that was one of the things I enjoyed, and I, you know, not just to admit this, but when the White Sox won the World Series in 05, was you had a baseball team. You didn't have a team with six guys who hit, you know, 50 home runs or more but strike out 1,000 times a season.
Yeah.
You know, you had guys who did everything. You had guys who did everything. They got on base. They scored runs. They had speed. You had your guy who hit the home runs, but not everyone did the same thing, and that's the problem. You know, and I think 2000 through somewhere in that last decade, you know, I don't know where in the last 20 years would you call it, but they've really just pushed this analytics stuff a little too far, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. It's nuts. They're just crazy over the top. You know, whatever. It's just, it's sad. So, but, all right, I don't know how many highlights you caught or what you did yesterday, but did you see the two home runs that ended up not being home runs yesterday?
No,
and one of them really hurt me. Yeah, well, one happened in the major leagues, one happened in the minor leagues. Bobby Witt Jr., who is the top prospect in the Kansas City Royals organization, and many people thought he had a shot at making the team this year, he hit a home run, and I don't know if he's in double A or triple A, and as he got to home plate, he shuffled, started doing this weird shuffle where he was tapping his 2 feet together and so on and so forth. Well, Dan, he managed to tap himself right over home plate and never touched it. So he got back to the dugout, they appealed, and he was called out. Then the one that hurt me, because I have this guy in the home run league, I also have him in one of our other leagues, Key Brian Hayes, the big-time rookie with the Pirates, hit a really impressive home run the opposite way to right field. You know, it was a really good at bat, and he ended up hitting a home run. Was watching it go out of the park, missed first base. Actually went behind it, which I had never seen a guy do when they miss first base. Most guys I see cut it short and miss the base that way. He literally went around it, just completely missed it. So, you know, somebody caught it. They appealed that, and he was out. And I was like, damn it, there goes my home run. So those were kind of humorous, I thought. Have you ever been live or something like that has happened? Not so much a home run, but a guy missing a base, or do you remember seeing it on TV yourself? Because I know it's pretty rare.
No, haven't seen that. The closest I've had was Sammy Sosa. I'm out in, back in the day, the bleachers, left field. They had a little small section called the family section. So it was basically between the bleachers and then between, you know, right where that, right before you go into that other section on the foul line. Yeah, right before the foul pole. So it was family section. It wasn't that big. You know, there was no drinking allowed. So my dad would take us and sit there. And, you know, to me it was pretty awesome. You got the feel for the bleachers and all that stuff. But we had, you know, a great game going on. I don't remember who it was against. I wish I remembered. Sammy's out there, catches the ball, you know, pulls the glove in and starts the jog into the infield to go to the dugout, you know, hat down the whole nine, you know, just like you would at any normal three-out shot. The only problem was that was only the second out. So, you know, fortunately, Sammy had a sense of humor, and Sammy was a good guy and took no offense to the fact that for the rest of the game, the bleachers called out the outs for him the rest of the game. So, that, you know, it was one of the, I don't think it was that detrimental to the game, you know, his mistake, but it was pretty funny when you think about it. Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have done that my playing career as a catcher. I thought there was the third out and rolled the ball back to the mound and headed for the dugout. Luckily, there was nobody on base, so nobody went anywhere. But it was a good chuckle. So, no. So, but yeah, you know, Dan, I had multiple errands and stuff to run, but I was able to, you know, catch some highlights before I left from last night's game. And I am going to bet that you can guess what the very first highlight I saw, and the considering they talked about it for probably 15 minutes, what it was. What was the first highlight I saw from last night, Dan?
Well, it was probably had to do with the first email I saw from Major League Baseball this morning that said, "See Shohei Ohtani's home run here."
Exactly. I got to see Shohei Ohtani's 470-foot home run because it was the longest of his career. So they led the highlights off with that. Oddly, I don't even know if they mentioned anything about the game. And then they broke it down and talked about it for about 15 minutes. So I was really excited to start my day because I was like, really, nothing else happened in baseball that, you know, I mean, there was a full slate of games. It wasn't like Monday where there were three games. No, nothing else happened. There wasn't a good game or something you could have showed us. But, yeah, they must have replayed the home run literally 10 times while they kept talking about it. So, and, you know, then the funny thing that came across the next thing I want you and I to talk about here, I found an article by Will Leach, who writes for MLB.com, about plenty of time for these five teams to rebound. And he immediately talks about the Angels. Now, they're 29-32, 6.5 games out. You know, Dan, he doesn't really give his definition of rebound, which is a little disappointing, but do you think this guy seriously believes that the Angels are a playoff team?
I think you can convince yourself of anything, can you not?
Yeah, if you're an idiot. I mean, because when you look at their division, okay, maybe the A's come back to the pack a little. You know, I would buy that. You know, neither the Mariners or the Rangers are any good. So, they're not contenders. But the Astros are a good team. There's no way in hell the Angels are going to catch the Astros. And then with the other teams in the American League, especially the East, they're not going to contend for one of the two wild card spots. So what's this guy's prediction? They get the second and don't make the playoffs again? Ooh, whoopee, that's one hell of a rebound, isn't it? You know, it's not like the Nationals who bounced back from I don't know how many games down and won the frickin' World Series. Yay!
Well, you know, and that's the problem with this NBA attitude that I think, you know, I hate to bring in politics into it, but it goes all the way back to Bill Clinton. When Bill Clinton was in office, he signed a bill that allowed you know, essentially, Bill Clinton's the reason in the 90s why today, you know, we only have Bally Network for all these teams. We only have Fox is Bally now.
Yeah.
The reason why we only have, you know, the reason why only the Yankees and the Cubs have their own network, because everyone's under one affiliated network. And then you even look at ESPN, you know, think about how many guys cross over. Just take Chris Rose, for instance. You know, I get it that these guys got to have jobs in the off season, but, you know, he was doing football and baseball. And I think the problem is you don't get to focus on the one sport. You know, I would prefer, you know, one of the things I loved about USA Today was that stupid newspaper that came out that was strictly football and baseball. And that's all, you know, same guys. You know, isn't it Bruce Nightingale who just does baseball all year round, you know, for the last 50 years or however old he is, you know? And I think that's one of the biggest issues is these guys are dabbling in all different sports and they forget turn it off. They forget when they are talking baseball that they're no longer talking NBA. So then they think that this one-man army can lead to victory when you might be able to get away with that in the NBA. You're definitely not going to get away with that in Major League Baseball. And especially since they've been trying to put this down our throats for the last almost 10 years with Mike Trout. And they had one opportunity and were swept against the wild card team.
Yeah. You know, and then this next one, team number two, is just as incredibly stupid. He goes with the Miami Marlins, who are 26-34 and 6.5 games out. Now, I get it. The Marlins were a fantastic story last year. You know, nobody expected them to get in the playoffs. Then when they got in, nobody expected them to win a series. Cubs choke. you know, this is a young team that's not going to go out and add the pieces at the trade deadline that they would need to make any kind of a comeback. And, you know, while they do have some good, you know, young pitchers, and, you know, Jazz Chisholm Jr. looks like he can turn into a really good player. Again, this isn't a playoff team. I mean, you know, I mean, the Mets, you know, the Braves have struggled, I get it, so have the Phillies. But they're still better than the Marlins, aren't they? I mean, are you in on the Marlins as this team?
No, and not only that, you know, you mentioned last year. Yeah, last year, I'm not going to say it was a fluke, but it was 60 games.
Right.
You know, we're almost at that mark.
We're almost to the 60-game mark, so the season would be over, and they wouldn't be in the playoffs. Yeah, I don't know. And this one's a little more believable. We're going to stay in the NL East, and this time it's the Phillies. All right, now, you know, they just got Bryce Harper back from injury. So that's going to be a big plus. They have two big guys at the top of the rotation with Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola. You know, if they can kind of piece it together, you know, they're 28-31. They're only four games out. I could see this team, you know, making the moves they might need to make to you know, possibly win the division or get themselves in the playoff race, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
So that one at least makes a little sense. This is another one that maybe it's just the division they're in, but I don't think I buy this one. The Cincinnati Reds, 28-30, they're five games out. You know, obviously the National League Central isn't any good. It may actually be the worst division in baseball right now. But, you know, Sonny Gray just got hurt last night. He's on the IL. Luis Castillo can't seem to get it figured out. Yeah, they have what looks to be a great offense, but can they really, truly be a legitimate contender for anything? I mean, what do you see them as?
Ooh, that's hard to say. I mean, where would you see them? I'm pulling one of those,
you know,
Big Jack.
I when we picked, I had them finishing in third. I think that they're just a middle-of-the-pack team. You know, and you got to remember, this was at a team, you know, in the offseason, they were looking to trade Sonny Gray and Luis Castillo. Do you honestly think they're going to go out and add pitching, which is what they need?
No, not one bit.
So, you know, I don't see it. And then the last one, and I'm really interested to know what you think about this. I'm actually going to let you start because I'm dying for this one. The Minnesota Twins, who are currently 24-36 and 13 games behind in the AL Central. Go get them.
You know, I think they were a flash in the pan last year. You know, the Twins just don't do it. They just, for whatever reason, they can't do it. They can't pull anything out. You know, last year was a 60-game season again. If it progressed for a natural season, I don't think they would have been anywhere at the top. I think they would have fallen behind the White Sox, if we had a full season last year.
So, yeah, I get that the Twins were a trendy pick, so my guess is this guy probably picked them to win the AL Central. You know, he lays a lot of their hope on comebacks on Byron Buxton coming back healthy and picking up where he left off. I believe you and I went over this before. Byron Buxton, I think, has stayed healthy for all of one of his major league seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really invest your savings, your life savings in a guy who hasn't proven he can stay healthy?
No, I mean, they might as well just bring back Torrey Hunter.
Yeah, who would probably be healthier. So, I believe the Twins are better than what they've shown. They look to have a really decent starting rotation, and it just hasn't worked out. Nobody's really pitched well. So do I expect them to improve? Yeah, I don't think they're the worst team in the, in the Central. I kind of assume they'll eventually get past Detroit and maybe Kansas City, but unless Cleveland continues to tear down and moves a couple more of their star players, I don't see Minnesota getting past them, and they're not going to catch the White Sox for first place.
No.
So on the plus side, what I will give this guy credit for, because when I saw the headline to the article, I honestly thought he was going to include the Yankees. So I was pleasantly surprised to not see the Yankees name in there, but I guess maybe because they're over 500, but they are 6.5 games out. So, he didn't include them or the Blue Jays. So I guess I'll give him a positive for that. But yeah, other than that, I'm not gonna give him a whole lot else. So. We'll kind of see how it goes, but yeah, I thought that was kind of at first I thought it was kind of an interesting article until I saw the teams he picked, and I was like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, we're not going out on any limbs here or anything to, do anything worthwhile, because it's not team. You know, like if he could have predicted that the Blue Jays and the Yankees were going to get in the playoffs over the Red Sox or the Rays, you know, that would be a team bouncing back. But, yeah, to just kind of throw it out there like that, it's like, yeah, okay, good. You didn't really jump up and down and do all that other fun stuff. So, but, I have been meaning to ask you, and I can't believe I forgot to do this earlier. Have you jumped on our fantasy team league for everything to attempt to pick up Patrick Wisdom, or did you allow him to slip past your fingers?
Oh, you know Elk had it. Elk probably has him already.
So yeah, I honestly haven't looked, but yeah, I thought that was very funny. I was like, oh yeah, this sounds like something that Dan would go after. So no.
Yeah, I won't even.
But yeah, so yeah, you didn't check it out.
Not yet. For whatever reason, the app's not working on my phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll have to see. I was actually looking at something else fantasy wise there, but let me jump on here and see. And you know, if you do happen to be in, you know, one of our fantasy league, I can't remember which one it was, but
now he's actually taken in all three.
Oh, I figured you. Oh, somebody picked him up in the home run league too, huh?
Yeah.
So was it Elk? Did you get a chance to look and see what team he ended up on?
No, it actually wasn't Elk, surprisingly.
Okay.
There are other teams I'm not too familiar with. So we have some new guys who are quick on the gun.
Yeah, we had a lot of new guys, so.
Yeah. Well, we have Jay Birds. He's been on there. So he took him, and I believe that's the Snake League. But, yeah, I didn't, you know, after, I really didn't know much about Patrick. I think he was there playing third base when we were there last weekend. But, yeah, and then when I saw the stat line today, I was like, I'm not even going to look. I'm not even going to bother wasting my time. But I do have to say, Big Jack, when I forgot to mention, you know, we were talking about the Twins and, you know, catch up to the Tigers. I think that's possible. But one of the things I did get to see at the Sox game when the Tigers beat the Sox against Lucas Giolito, who I really wanted to see win because he's on my team, you know, I thought the Sox, they had a comeback. You know, late in the game, they could have come back and won the game. But in comes Tiger prospect Kyle Funkhauser and just kind of was lights out against them. And I don't know if you remember discussing this young man before, but he is actually my brother-in-law's little cousin. So,
oh,
six
yeah,
degrees.
You did mention that.
Yeah, so I had to give a little throw that out there that I indirectly know him, but I don't know. But I just, you know, it's one of those things when you're like, oh, I don't want to root for this guy, but, you know, he's my brother-in-law's cousin, so it's a family, so you kind of want to give him that respect. But it was interesting to see the kid. He's got a nice arm, and, you know, he just kind of confused the White Sox. But, you know, with small pieces like that, you wonder if the Tigers can maintain that spot and maybe move up a little bit if they can control their pitching and if Miggy gets something better going.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I think they're another team that's just a little too far away. You know, I mean, they, you know, they're still developing players. You know, I mean, like, you know, Casey Mize has been a little up and down, but he's definitely their future ace. You know, like Spencer Turnbull, who threw the no-no, he just got hurt. So, you know, obviously they're dealing with some setback there. And, you know, all the talk is, you know, once they sell at the trade deadline, I don't think going up is where they're going to go because there's a lot of talk they're going to move Matthew Boyd, who's basically their ace right now. You know, and with their bullpen, is, you know, a little – maybe they finally found a role for Michael Fulmer because he has picked up four saves, but he's hurt also, which seems to be a thing for him. So I think they're still multiple years away. You know, maybe next year they improve depending on what kind of steps forward their players take, but – you know, on the plus side, Jamar Candelario is playing much better for them this year.
Mm-hmm. Much better.
But, you know, like they just DFA'd Jacoby Jones, who was one of their big-time prospects. They finally gave up on him after, I think it was 8 years or something. So, you know, he was scuffling. He was hitting .170, and they finally just decided to cut ties. And, you know, they spent a little money on Nomar Mazara, who's hitting .183 and only a couple home runs. So he scuffled as well. So, you know, just kind of one of those things with this team, you know, with the exception of Jonathan Scope, who they brought back, maybe he was somewhere else last year. You know, he's at least got 9 bombs, so he's producing for them offensively, but their other signings haven't been fantastic. So, but, yeah, you know, again, I mean, they're, you know, just trying to develop guys like a lot of teams are. You know, you can, you know, go down the list and pile teams up there that do that. So, you know, no shock there.
Yeah, and, you know, you had brought up Patrick Wisdom and kind of with the Cubs, and it seems like they're still able to produce some solid talent as far as defense and offense goes, but you know, the pitching still doesn't come through. I mean, do you think that they'll be able to hold out, or do you think that the NL Central is just that weak where the Cubs should be able to dominate? I mean, Jake Arrieta is definitely looking in much better shape back here in Chicago than he did with Philly. I don't know what the hell happened in Philly, but
yeah, well, you have to remember, first of all, Patrick Wisdom actually came up through the Cardinal system, because I was really shocked when they said he still qualified as a rookie. But I did look. He played 32 games for St. Louis 1 year. Then he a year with Texas, but only played 9 games in the majors. Last year he played 2 games with the Cubs, and now he's been here for 15. So we're looking at a 29-year-old rookie is what, you know, basically we've got on our hands here. So I don't know how much producing the Cubs did with him. I am interested to know why all of a sudden he's hitting
Nico
here
Horner.
Where he hasn't hit anywhere else. Yeah, Nico Horner may be the guy. At least I hope he's the guy. But you know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, you know, I mean, is there any reason they can't? You see them not being able to hold on? You know, I mean, I know Milwaukee is playing well. So they're going to have to find a way to stay with them. But, you know, the Cardinals, with all the injuries, they're in a lot of trouble. And I just believe I saw that Jack Flaherty's timetable got pushed back. And, you know, he's their big-time starter. He's their big number one. Without him for a long period of time, that team is going to struggle. So, yeah, I can't see a reason why they can't hang, you know, at least stick around. You know, then the question, of course, becomes what the hell do they do with all their guys? Because, you know, if they're not going to pay, they're going to walk away.
Yeah, and I guess that was more along the lines of what I meant was, you know, with a lot of the, you know, you've almost have the fantasy team that you've always discussed, the Stars and Scrubs. Kind of going on right now, and not that any of these kids are scrubs, but you kind of get the gist. They're not, you know, superstars. They don't have, you know, that huge name value yet. I guess that's where I was getting with it, but it just kind of throws me off. You know, Brian Dempster's in the booth today, and they were discussing Ian Happ at second base, and, you know, there was a stolen base where he missed it, and, you know, just the experience level. Compared to having Javi, who sits at shortstop every day since Castro left. You know, to me, that's just those small little details that I think this whole super utility BS, you kind of lose at it. You know, while a guy can play all these positions, and it's not that big of a deal, but especially the middle infield is key. And when you have a guy who's not consistently playing there, it just doesn't really work out as well as it could be. And not only that, to me, if you're a floater, you kind of lose your value.
Yeah, well, we'll see, because Chris Bryant has kind of turned into that super utility guy, and
mm-hmm.
I don't know if he'll lose any value. You know, that'll be interesting to see what his value is, but I think he'll do okay. Obviously, Ian Happ is no Chris Bryant, and there are very few guys like Chris Bryant who can play that well and bounce around.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of an odd case. And, the funny thing is, as long as Patrick Wisdom continues to hit, they won't send him down, but he's not a utility guy. He basically can only play third base. I think he's played some first. So that continues. You continually have to move Brian around because you're not taking that bat out of the lineup either.
Yeah, and that's where you're kind of in a weird conundrum. You're putting him back in the outfield, and it's like, well, if that's the case, if you're sticking with Wisdom, Hayward in right, Brian in left, who do you put in center to kind of really play that game out there? But, and that's the complete shuffle every other day. Just, to me, doesn't always make a whole lot of sense.
Right. Especially you'd really like Jock.
Major League.
You really like Jock Peterson's bat in the lineup because obviously he's left-handed and he does give you good power. So where does that kind of single out Ian Happ? He's basically got to move into second base or you don't play him. Honestly, I can see not playing him. He's hitting under 200. He does have 7 bombs. But, Jason Hayward is struggling again. He's only hitting .170, but obviously he can defend. And Happ looks like a good outfielder, but is he going to hit enough? And don't forget they're going to get Matt Duffy back, who was actually playing pretty well for them.
Yeah. Let's not leave out Jason Mariznick. I mean, he's not a superstar, but he's played pretty well. So, I mean, between Jock, Jason, Bryant and Jason, he's got a pretty solid, rotation in the outfield. So, maybe this is the spot where David Ross is realizing that it's better to put Happ at second base. I just get conflicted as to where this kid's supposed to play. And then with the addition of Nico Horner, how often are you going to flip-flop them?
Right, and then, don't forget that, Horner's on the IL, and don't forget so's David Bodie.
Oh, yeah.
Turning soon, hopefully. So, you're going to get a big-time log jam, and, it'll be interesting to see how they handle it, especially if Patrick Wisdom continues to hit, because he'll be very difficult to, A, not play, or B, send down. Happ still has an option, so maybe he goes back down for a little while like they did with him a couple years ago, and then he comes back and starts to perform better like he did that year. But, my guess is Horner gets a ticket back to the minors, even though he's hitting very well. He's got a .338 average in the games he's played, but he's another guy with options, so... that's my guess is we see Horner and Happ go to the minors and Bodie and Wisdom hang out.
Yeah, so I mean, it just seems like with Jed kind of following the Theo piecemeal kind of thing, he created another logjam for this season.
Well, I believe it was unintentional. Nobody expected this out of Patrick Wisdom. If you'd have told me that, Patrick Wisdom would currently be, third, fourth on the Cubs in home runs, people would have laughed at you. I'm sure there were a lot of people who didn't even expect him to be here this year. But, it's worked out well, and we'll see. I just don't want to start listening to people go, oh, yeah, we've got the guy to replace Chris Bryant.
Oh, they will. He's
oh yeah,
have
I
his
know
Hall
they
of
will.
Fame votes already.
Yeah. So I get that that's going to happen, but you know people seem to forget that anybody can get hot.
Yeah, well, him and Justin Fields, right? They're Save Chicago.
Yeah. So you know that's kind of how it goes. You know, well, they're here to rescue everything. So we did have we do have two games going on right now. We actually already have one final. The Rangers ended up beating the Giants 4-3 in extra innings. So obviously
that game was early.
The game was it was a pretty early start, but obviously it was stupid because the game went into extra innings. The A's are currently beating the Diamondbacks 4-0 in the top of the eighth, and the Cubs and the Padres are tied headed into the seventh inning. So they're tied at 1-1, by the way.
Yep, three more innings, and then I got to shut it off.
Yeah. So, but yeah, if you're looking, you'd have to be in a deep fantasy league to have a Brett Martin, but he got the win for the Rangers. Jake McGee took the loss for the Giants, who I actually have in one of our leagues. So I don't think we're counting L's, but hopefully he didn't give up, too many bombs or anything, give up a bomb or anything like that. The Giants did hit a couple home runs. Vossler hit his third, and Trope hit his first. I'm going to guess not too many of those guys are on fantasy rosters yet. Trope is Posey's backup, so there's probably not a big calling for him. That was pretty much it. The Rangers had an extra base hit. Eli White had an extra base hit. So not a ton of offense in this game, even though there were seven runs scored. Kyle Gibson got the start for the Rangers. He did put up a quality start, so if you got Kyle Gibson, Dan gave you that. Six innings, four hits, two runs, a couple walks, five strikeouts. He gave up the two home runs. So, just kind of keep your fantasy rolling there. Dan, something I tweeted to you yesterday, we did mention that the NBA did name their MVP, and it was Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. I got to, take a look at the voting last night, and one of the humorous things that not only did I notice, but I saw on Twitter, your guy Derrick Rose got a first-place vote. The only vote he got, just one, but he got a first-place vote. And, I'm under the impression that you thought it was pretty interesting that he got a first-place vote. Is that correct or no?
I mean, I don't know. I've been so out of the loop with the NBA, I couldn't tell you anything. Was he key into some kind of success there at the Madison Square Garden?
I do remember seeing him have a couple big games where he was their leading scorer, but I don't know. Honestly, I thought their best player was Julius Randle this year, who did finish right ahead of Rose in the voting. So that was, pretty interesting that there were two Knicks that actually got MVP votes. So, Randle finished eighth and Rose finished ninth. I don't know about much about the Knicks, but, the one thing that is really kind of interesting about this is, if you remember, when he got hurt in Chicago when Rose was a Bull, which basically, really hurt his career, there were a lot of people in the Chicago media that claimed that it was Tom Thibodeau's fault and he ruined Derrick Rose's career.
Oh, yeah.
Well, who does Derrick Rose play for in New York right now?
Well, and play for, but not only play for it for the third time.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that always drove me nuts about the media was the BS with the Tom Thibodeau stuff. Oh, he makes them go to practice and actually practice. You know, he goes out there and runs a guy for too long.
You know, well, you know, and obviously it worked because the Knicks got into the playoffs while they did lose to the, I believe it was the Atlanta Hawks the first round. They got in. You know, there weren't a lot of people who were believing that they were going to get in. Thibodeau won Coach of the Year. So, you know, he's doing something right.
I still think he's a really good coach. I don't think he, you know, it didn't work out in Minnesota. I don't think that the whole deal he had there, being the front office guy and the coach, was probably the best interest. But for whatever reason, Big Jack, I don't know what it is about the T-Wolves, but they could probably have LeBron James and a superstar team, and they probably wouldn't go far for some reason.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know now, you know, and a lot of the problem you ran into there last year was they decided they wanted to rebuild.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and they did get the number one pick. I don't know if it'll help them. They have Karl Anthony Towns. Maybe if they can add another player or two, they'll find a way. But they are in the West, so it's a little tougher out there than it is in the East.
Yeah. Well, and they've had number one picks. They just didn't keep them and didn't work out.
Yeah, you know, so, yeah, you know, and they, you know, they did acquire Andrew Wiggins for Kevin Love, and unfortunately Wiggins never became the player that anybody thought he was going to be. So,
yeah, I believed.
So, but, yeah.
Drafted him several years.
But, yeah, and then we had another NBA fine, Dan. Pat Riley, who is the president of the Miami Heat, was fined $25,000 for violating the league's anti-tampering rule. Here's the quote he said, Dan. Maybe you can guess what player he was talking about. It said, "I would leave the key under the doormat if he would call me and let me know that he's coming. I would do that, but I doubt very much that key is rusted now." So what player did he say that about?
Oh, he's talking about LeBron.
Yeah. So, yeah, it cost Riley $25,000 to talk about that. But I thought that's a good analogy that they actually issued a fine.
Yeah, I think I just got the what that means or his analogy about it being rusted. I like that. I enjoy that. But I mean, I'll be honest, Big Jack, if LeBron for some reason went back to Miami, I'd totally be on that train again. Or that bandwagon. I'd totally be on that bandwagon. Jimmy Butler and LeBron James. Oh man.
I wonder if they would get along.
And then, well, you know, for whatever reason, Jimmy seems to be the, I don't want to say the problem, but has more of the mouth.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, what always seems to be Jimmy's problem, what got him in trouble in Minnesota, is he expected the other players to work as hard as he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys like Anthony Towns, and I don't think it was Andrew Wiggins, I think it was somebody else. They weren't interested in work anywhere close to as interested in working as hard as Jimmy Butler does. But you have to remember, Butler made himself a player. He was a second-round draft pick. Nobody had him pegged as being anything. And, you know, he's clearly one of the best players in the NBA right now.
I mean, you know, that was one thing that always stood out to me. My annual Bulls game for a couple of years, you know, taking my nephew, you know, I would try to get those key games, those big games against the West. And, I mean, to go back-to-back years and see him go up against a hot Oklahoma Thunder, that's what they're called, right?
Yes.
OKC, yeah. And then the next year to follow up against the Houston Rockets and to see Jimmy just shut down James Harden, Russell Westbrook, you know, not on the same team at the same time, but to see him shut those guys down, I'm like, man, this guy is for real. And like you said, you know, that was part of the problem here in Chicago too, is I don't think the guys wanted to work as hard. you know, when you brought up D. Rose, it takes me back to that game where Rose finally hit 50 points, and you've got Jimmy welcoming him to the 50-point club. You know what I mean? So it's just to kind of see how their careers, you know, on the same team and the highs and lows, and then how Jimmy was the guy kind of encouraging D. Rose. You know, something was lost in Chicago. He lost something in Chicago. I just hope he – I think being here with too much family, friends, I think it kind of hurt his career, to be honest with you, especially when his brother was his mouthpiece. But Jimmy, I think, you know, as his confidence grew and he became the, kind of the man in Chicago, I don't think the guys wanted to hear it anymore. Like you said, that happened in Minnesota. They didn't want to work as hard. They didn't want to play as hard.
Yeah.
And then going back to tips for a minute, you know, having Paul Gasol here, I mean, when I first saw him get signed, I'm like, oh, God, we got an old guy. And then to go to the UC and see Gasol out there 20 minutes, just tear up the game, working harder than he wants to because of Tibbs. But, you know, I feel like he put up great numbers when he was with Chicago and Tibbs. And I don't think it compared to when he left.
You know, Tibbs can get, you know, production out of players. He knows how to, you know, how to coach. So, but yeah, you know, and then in some other LeBron James news, Dan, they're reporting today that he will be changing his number to 6. So you can look for more jersey sales.
Oh. Can you change your number in the middle of the season?
Well, remember, his season is over.
Oh, that's right. What does 6 mean? The number of rings he's trying to chase?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I didn't see any meaning in it, so I'm not sure what the you know, what the story is behind it. But yeah, that, you know, that of course is big news anytime, you know, a player like that makes a number change. So, you know, that, like I said, plus it'll help sell some jerseys. So
yeah.
You know, and then I think the last NBA thing I saw today was the Pacers are making a coaching change. They fired their coach after just one season. Nate Bjornson, maybe how it's pronounced. So there's another coaching opening there. We'll have to see who ends up there. But, you know, Indiana, at least, you know, they got into the play-in tournament. But, you know, they had a rough year with guys getting hurt and sick and all that stuff. So I don't know. I don't know if it'll help them. So, yeah, there you go. Has the Cubs or the Padres scored yet, or is it still 1-1? Because I'll need to know. I've got it on in the other room. I need to know if I'm going to need to turn it off if it goes into extra innings, because I can't watch that garbage.
Yeah, Rizzo grounded into a double play, putting them up by one. You know, it's hard if I have my phone out at the same time watching the Cubs, because the delay on Marquee Network, they need to delay the updates on the phone, man, because I'll do it every time. I'll get the update, and I'm like, damn it, I'm watching the guy bat, and we're 2 pitches behind. You know, now, thank you. Now I know I'm going to hit a home run.
If you missed out, however, tune in back after here. We're not over there. You can listen.